Welcome to Dial a Dork, everyone. My name is Irv. I am semi-live, sort of undead here in my basement. I'm joined tonight by one lone brave soldier, Russ Miller, the nicknameless Russ Miller. Russ, how are you?
Did you run, run, run?
Indeed.
Did you run, run?
Did you run, run, run? Did you run, run? I agree. So, I'm not really sure what I just agreed with, though, exactly. Do you have anything right hot topic right on the top of your head? You did
hot
send
topic.
Me a fantastic
I did send a
link.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool little PC Mag thing, just ripe for commentary.
I think we should definitely cover it.
Yes.
But I got to go find it. That's how.
Yeah, I had it open, and now I appear not to.
That's how stupidly unprepared I am.
It's hideous, just simply hideous.
All right, here we go. Okay, PC World had an article, just a magnificent article.
Yes.
I don't know if I agree with everything that they said.
But they got more than I would have thought of things that are really bad.
They did pretty well, though. I'm going to say. They did pretty
well.
All
right, so yeah, the topic itself was crap. Crap from the tech world. Terrible, awful items.
Should
never have existed.
What do they call it officially? Let's see. The 25 worst tech products of all time. And then the subheadline says, these products are so bad, they belong in the high-tech hall of shame. That is a really crappy sub-headline.
You don't like that?
Let's.
You want something punchier?
Well, here's the headline. The 25 worst tech products of all time. I think that is just geared 100% completely to attract today's audiences. We love lists.
Absolutely.
We want lists.
Somebody judge so we can judge back.
Indeed, indeed. In fact, not only do I like to judge the list, I like to judge the judger.
Oh, yes.
And lists are revealing.
This article is by Dan Tynan.
Dan Tynan, wherever you are, you did a good job. And
you
I like
good.
You. And you thought about this.
And he probably didn't make the subheadline.
Well, the subline, one
That's
more time, is
somebody else.
These products are so bad, they belong in the high-tech hall of shame. I'm going to say that subheadline is so bad.
How bad is it?
It belongs in the subheadline hall of shame.
It may very well.
I know, and by the way, this is very old, but I actually heard a funny knock-knock joke the other day.
All right, go ahead.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Amy Fisher.
Amy
Bang!
Fisher. All right, you got me too. Okay. That's pretty damn good.
So, Dan Tynan at PC World says, we spend most of our time talking about products that make your life easier or your work more productive, but it's the lousy ones that linger in our memory long after their shrink wrap has shriveled. And that make tech editors cry out, what have I done to deserve this?
What have I?
It makes Dusty Springfield.
What have I done to
and
deserve
the Pet
this?
Shop Boys. No, wait. Wasn't it them?
It's Pet Shop Boys, but I don't know if it's her or not.
Featuring Dusty Springfield?
She did some guest work. I don't know.
Didn't she become the oldest woman ever to...
To be old?
To ever have a number one single when that song went to number one?
You got me. Is that in the British pop charts?
I think it went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100, and she became the old. She was like 62 or something at the time, or something crazy, and she became the oldest woman to ever have a number one hit because she was. It was technically a duet. It was like Pet Shop Boys and Dusty Springfield
featuring. Perhaps
I don't even think it was featuring. I think it was and Dusty Springfield.
Wow, top billing, pretty good.
Anyway,
would they sample her or actually use her singing? What's the story there? I don't really.
Well, she's
know.
Like, since he went away. I've been hanging around, wondering why I'm feeling down.
She had a pretty good voice for a 62-year-old.
Well,
those are some live pipes right there.
Let me tell you, it's remarkable how much of a preservative on vocal cords it is if you're constantly performing oral sex on men.
By a 62-year-old? You're skeeving me out, man.
Actually, speaking of oral sex by a 62-year-old, I recently viewed a video. Oh, I don't even know where,
man.
But it
it's
involved
the worst segue.
It involved
ever.
A really old woman giving head, and she stops halfway through and pulls her teeth out and continues. Oh. She's like, "Hold on, let me get my teeth out."
That's terrible, dude.
And
knowledge I didn't need.
It's definitely knowledge you didn't need.
Ugh.
How could that be knowledge that anyone would need?
Well, if you're 62 and you're a woman or a guy, you might need that.
But I have to say,
I sure don't.
I have to say that that I showed it to this one particular gentleman because I was actually instructed to show it to him because his coworker said he's always talking about how he wants to get oral sex from a woman with no teeth and how awesome it would be or something.
Can we talk about something else now?
Well, anyway, I showed him the video, and he found it extremely appealing.
This person has issues, then.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Were her old granny boobs hanging out and everything?
Thankfully, no.
Okay.
She was wearing some sort
of top. It was tastefully done.
Well, let me tell you, the guy in question who was receiving end
mm-hmm.
was that kind of a young
old
guy.
Wrinkly ball.
No, he was kind of a young guy. Nice. He kind of looked like a lesser version of the lead singer of Three Dog Night in his heyday.
That is such a reference. It does nothing for me. Wow, Dewey, okay. Make sure you get that in the show notes. Picture the lead singer from Three Dog Night.
And see if you can put a link about his cocaine habit, which apparently was something on the order of $20,000 a day at one point.
They call him the nun on the kind of the length of his habit.
Yes, that's exactly what they call him.
Nice.
I don't think my mic's working very well.
Yeah, I can hear you like in the room, I think. Or maybe I'm just really loud. You want me to turn you up?
No, I don't think. I mean, maybe I'm not aiming it right, or maybe I need to talk a little closer to it.
Yeah, I think I would say a little bit, but I.
So all that fantastic dialogue I just put forth is gone to waste?
We hope not, jeez.
All right, well, you could pot me up a little bit, I guess. I'm just worried that I'm going to get too loud.
Are you,
I'm the one with this long kind of gray cord here.
Okay, you're number three.
All right, so PC World's 25 worst tech products, and it's I think also a term that's used a little bit loosely in this article. But anyway, number 20.
I have an addendum that stretches that even more, but go ahead.
Okay, 25 was the Sharp RD 3D notebook.
Okay.
It was supposed to display 3D images
I
without
found
funny
glasses. One of the oddest parts of the article was that it was written backwards. They gave away top five
right
away.
That's right. It started with number one and it went to 25, and I've actually gone to the end, and I'm working my way back.
Yeah, that's why I bring it up. And I read it in order, and it was much more interesting because it didn't start with the Sharp what's-its-nuts.
All right, well, why don't we just do
that?
That
was an editorial choice.
Why don't we just go back to – why don't we just start with number one, what Mr. Tynan believes is the worst tech product of all time.
Do you think there was a editorial vote on that kind of thing?
I don't know. Maybe he just wrote the article, and they said, oh, fantastic, a list. People
you're
love it.
Good. Yes.
Well, number one is America Online. That's, to me, that's barely falls into the category of tech product.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, it's as producty as it gets, really. They send you CDs.
I know, but I mean, product.
You think it's more of a service?
Yes. I think, in fact, it is a service. Yeah. Now, if they would have said the AOL, well, you know what?
They're talking about the awful software, but the whole service, you're right, is being condemned here.
And I have to agree that Tynan did an excellent job of pointing out that for a really long time, you could not dial in to AOL and use that connection to access the rest of the internet.
Right. It was a big deal for us at Case when they came online. AOL joined the rest of the internet. So everything got dumber.
Well, all I know is that was incredibly frustrating, and it just seemed like a big... You had to use the AOL browser.
Did you use AOL back then?
No, I didn't actually use AOL, but my mother did.
Uh-huh.
And when I was at her house, and I didn't, you know, have my own dial-up account or something like that, or actually, I think what it was that I didn't feel like busting out my computer and, you know, tying up her phone line or whatever. Instead, I just, you know, when she was hooked up to AOL, I would just, hey, let me borrow that for a second. And then I realized I couldn't use Internet Explorer. I had to use the AOL browser, which was really bad.
Well, if you're even browsing then, I mean, to step back, I mean, a lot of these BBSs or whatever you want to call them back in the days, they had their own. They were just their own worlds with very little between them.
That's right.
FidoNet and your Prodigy and all those guys.
Well, right, and AOL was just, you know, like a dial-up that dropped your call all the time, offered you really crappy content that took forever to download. Oh, and the thing that really pissed me off was that when you would, you know, most back then, nobody had an unlimited minute plan. And what would happen is that, like, you would go to, actually, for, whether it used your minutes or not, the thing that pissed me off was that you would try to leave AOL and it would say, wait, I'm downloading updates.
Oh, and they did.
And it would, so you'd sit there for 15 minutes waiting for, like, you know, new art to come down.
That's ridiculous.
And you couldn't stop the process. You couldn't.
I will not stand for it. This
worst
will not
tech
stand.
Product of all time. Real Networks Real Player is number two.
Oh, so down with that.
And I have to once again... I
love not installing it.
I have to once again congratulate Mr. Tyne on pointing out that a Real Player, to this day, still
yeah.
puts that scheduler, that Real Sked program in your startup.
I wouldn't know. I haven't installed it
in 5 years.
No matter
how many times
you
remove it, as soon as you launch Real Player again, it puts it back.
That's absurd.
And it definitely, and of course, he's talking about how the software was communicating with the mothership and
yeah.
and stuff
and
like
that. It
just
slowed you down, and it was doing stuff, and it was so annoying. And, you know, they don't mention in this list also, though, some other people bring up in the comments of this article, Apple's own QuickTime is a similar pain in the ass. And it really is. It's difficult to uninstall. It comes down when you load iTunes, which you don't. Never asked for any movie player, and there you go. You got your QuickTime, and then it sits there. It got a little guy on the system tray, and
Do you need QuickTime to play AAC?
I don't think so. I uninstalled it on my machine. I installed iTunes and I uninstalled QuickTime. You can do it from Windows components, whatever.
Okay, well, I mean, you can uninstall QuickTime. I think iTunes gets a little flustered when you do.
Yeah, probably ask me if I want to update it or something.
And I think Tynan is fair when he says that Real Networks does deserve credit for being free and for hanging in there against Microsoft. But I've just never been impressed with the software. I hated the... Oh, and you know what? It used to put all them damn shortcuts all over the desktop and
yep.
put...
Much like AOL, actually.
Yeah, AOL would do that too and put stuff in the start menu, put stuff in the quick... You know, just... Finally, they started asking. And they started asking if you wanted to... You know, install like Yahoo Toolbar or whatever. You know, and install this crap.
Mm-hmm.
I hate
that's
that.
No good.
I hate that. That's like, I mean, I think it's become quite clear that that's just bad manners in the software
totally
world.
I agree. Yeah.
Number three is Synchronous or whatever soft RAM.
I'd never heard of this one.
Well, you know, I heard about this. I remember. I remember all the disk doubler.
I remember
and
disk
all.
Doublers, but not RAM doublers.
Yeah, this was basically just a virtual...
Bigger virtual memory, which you could do
virtual,
anyway.
Like, this is a swap file. So this
right.
being, they basically set up an extra swap file or,
well, it says
or made a bigger
made
swap
it bigger,
file.
Yeah, which you could do with Windows parameters or whatever anyway.
Well, it was so bad that the FTC
yeah.
dubbed them false and misleading. How bad is that?
That's pretty bad.
You got to be pretty bad.
Especially in the tech industry. Usually people go away before those kind of investigations can come to a head.
Basically, you paid them $30 to do something that you could have done on your own in about five or six mouse
bucks.
Clicks. Five or six mouse clicks.
That's true.
Okay. Number four, I have to agree with 100%. Microsoft Windows Millennium. It is brutal. And anybody who has it has nothing.
So happy.
I still have clients who use it.
Poor souls.
And... You know, I'm like,
I got relatives of 98 that I kind of really shirk supporting. It's so hard.
It's rough because I don't remember where anything is, but I would much rather support a 98 system than a Windows NT system.
Really?
Windows NT is
yeah.
so hard to find stuff.
I could see that. But
it's so hard to find stuff.
Have you running into that still? Because NT, I got to imagine anyone who had the balls to actually buy NT is upgraded.
Well, I agree 100%. However, I definitely know of at least one company who is a tech support provider
nice.
and teaches classes.
Excellent.
That I'm almost positive they still have Windows NT machines.
Well, you know, the other thing about NT is if you just upgraded it and didn't flatten that box, bare metal it, as it were, that still is a crufty, who knows what's going on that box, even if you're running 2000 on it now.
Yeah, it's, Windows 2000 was such a leap from Windows ME and Windows NT and Windows 98.
Definitely.
As much flack as Microsoft deserves for Windows ME, yes. they deserve some kudos for Windows 2000.
Yeah, the weirdest thing about ME was that it came out after 2000.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was
a lot of people had gone to home. And was there home flavor or they were just using it?
No, it was Windows 2000 professional.
I know,
but
I had my parents
server,
get 2000 instead of
it was 2000
ME.
Pro and 2000 server, and that was it. There wasn't like an XP home in the 2000.
But the fact
world.
That it came out afterwards is obviously it was a, a separate group somewhere. Red,
but it kind of looked like Windows 2000,
and it looked a lot like actually XP. I think ended up.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And that was cool and all, but it just looked different, and it was still.
It crashed so much.
Yeah, it was ugly.
It did have system restore, as he points out. But the system restore can unfortunately restore viruses and spyware and other things like that.
Does it?
So you got to watch that.
Yeah, he points out that it could have done that. Does it not do that anymore? I don't. I turn that off right
now. No, XP will restore viruses.
Okay.
In fact, virus checkers like AVG have figured out how to extract viruses out of the restore files.
Nice.
Number five is the Sony BMG Music CDs from last year. We talked about that a lot, the rootkit CDs.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I mean, I think we've talked about that a lot. It was just one of the biggest miscalculations in
well, it's all part of the content history industry flailing around right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's exactly. Now, I didn't know about this Lion King CD-ROM.
Never heard of that, but if you look at the year, this is 1994, so...
Yeah. 1994, this Lion King CD prompted the creation of DirectX because the WinG platform for producing video, rendering video, was apparently so buggy and messed up.
Yeah, that and many video cards, their drivers didn't handle it or hadn't been built to do it or whatever, I guess. You know, this might be a good time to segue into our bare metal question of the week.
Okay, you know, I actually haven't... This read it yet? So let's fine. Let's do it. Let's do it. We'll take a break from that list. Our Tim Wurzel bare metal question of the week.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bare metal! All right. That was my...
Sound effects go down.
That was my
guitar, two of us.
Guitar squeal. Dorks, I recently reinstalled World of Warcraft on my computer. Yes, I do actually play... But my previous questions about it were jokes. Oh, funny. And
I'm sure Matt wasn't laughing.
Yeah, really.
Or maybe he the only one was.
I don't know. Maybe he got it. And every time I play, after a little while, usually around 10 or 15 minutes, my computer will quit right to a blue screen with nothing but blue showing, and the CPU will tick rapidly in a low tone until I shut off the computer. The CPU...
By which I think he means the main... Hopefully... CPU is not going to make any noise.
I don't think CPUs make noise.
I think he was referring to the box itself.
Okay, the box. Okay. When I, you know, a lot of people do that.
What might call the hard drive.
Yes, that's right. When people call it the hard drive, I'm like, I go, I'm like a Sideshow Bob when he goes.
But there is no great name for it. It's the box, the machine.
I call it the chassis.
Oh, that's hoity-toity.
Yeah. Okay.
So that will not stand.
So the CPU or some component... will tick rapidly in a low tone until I shut off the computer.
Is it does it speed up? Does it slow down? What do you think?
He doesn't say if it speeds
up. I'm trying to car talk it out because they always make the noises on there.
I'm sure it's rhythmic. Right. That's good. This happens anytime I play this game and only this game. It was also happening a couple months ago when I installed it previously. All of my drivers are up to date and I can't figure out what is causing this. I'm actually about to reformat my computer tomorrow. Usually do this about once a year to clean it up.
Oh, he's bare metaling even before
he's
he
bare metaling it before we even said so. But I still like to hear if you guys have any ideas about the culprit. Well, one of the things that would be great, and this is always very, and I know you've emailed the show many, many times, Tim, and we should probably already know all your system specs.
That's right.
But
maybe one just send them a BGM.
One
profile.
Of the things that like support forums, yeah, one of the things that support forums and other. You know, situations like this, one of the things they usually like to know is what are the specs. So if you know, like, what's the make and model of the motherboard, how much RAM, and maybe even a couple of specs about that RAM, what's the CPU, brand, make, model, that kind of stuff.
Clock speed.
What's the clock speed, all that. What's the hard drive? What's the video card?
And
very much especially, what's the video card? And what operating system are you running?
Unfortunately, without Matt here, Dork Almighty,
we're
a little hampered in our game assessments. But one of the things I tried to get into a gaming, I thought, I'm going to try out gaming again. I haven't done this in forever. I haven't played computer games since college. So 5 years ago, I'd go out and buy Black and White, the game Black and White. Supposed to be a little build a community thing, kind of civilization-y or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Looks fun.
Okay.
I throw it in my computer, and amusingly enough, all I get is black and white flickering at me. Turns out my onboard video card, which I didn't know anything about video cards, couldn't even come close to handling it. So I went out and bought a video card, which turned out to be AGP, which is a different slot that I didn't even have.
That's right.
At that point, I gave up on playing games.
Okay, and that was it for games.
That was it.
Do you still have black and white?
In a box somewhere that a girlfriend probably wants me to throw away.
Let's hook it up, man. Let's play.
All right. Well, there's two is out now, I think. Anyway, my first thought with a blue screen, I wondered if it was the official Windows blue.
That's another good question.
If it doesn't have any writing on it, it's probably not really a blue screen or desk.
Is this the BSOD? Or is this just a crash-type situation where the game has crapped out and has gone to a blue screen and... And, you know, there's blue
video
screens
cards,
and then
video
there's blue
memory,
screens.
And those are the things I'm wondering about right now. They're tweaking me.
Right. So, Tim, if you're listening, let us know what are some of your system specifications, and is this a blue screen of death, or is this just a blue blank screen a la a desktop with no icons, you know, kind of a thing?
And the other thing I wonder, what do you think? What causes ticking in a... In a box.
Well,
in a chassis.
The ticking to me suggests that the program has crashed so severely, or that has caused some other thing to crash so severely that it is locked up. And it is, but it's still trying to do something. Here's
hard drive, right?
Like
that's
here's
the big
thing
that could be clicking. Anything else?
The hard drive could be clicking because it could be like reading the same, doing the same little motion over and over again. It's kind of like this. Every now and then I used to have this problem with various computers is a program would crash in the middle of something else making sound or the program itself making sound. And it would go like, you know.
So those bits are continuously
hitting your... It would be like ding, 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 you know, or whatever. Whatever the last little... snippet of sound was, it just keeps playing it over and over and over again.
Yeah, definitely
on instant repeat. And it's totally locked up. And I've actually had computers like laptops where when you shut the lid, it would kind of go into that for about 5 seconds until it went into its other video mode. And well, like it was like you would shut the lid and it would go into a different video mode to power a external monitor, like automatically, you know.
Gotcha.
So, when you close the lid, it would, you know, you'd be listening to a song, and it would be like, you know, the ink is black, the page is white, you know, like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm wondering if the hard drive isn't doing the same kind of thing.
Does
like
World
it's
of Warcraft
stuck,
play noises?
Stuck.
I have no idea.
Well, I'm sure it makes noises, but what if it's stuck in an instruction?
Sure.
And the whole computer has just completely locked up.
In that case, it would be coming from your speaker. Or speakers.
Wait, is yeah? I mean,
as opposed to from the.
Well, right. I mean, what I'm saying, like the hard drive could be making a ticking noise.
Sure.
Because hard drives make noise.
Absolutely.
And it could be stuck in a procedure, in the same place.
Sure.
Now here's the funny thing about it. I doubt that it's a hard drive problem.
No, I don't think it's a hard drive problem.
But it could be a RAM problem.
That's exactly. I was thinking video memory or memory itself.
Now, I know that 10
to 15 minutes into play, that's pretty unusual.
Well, see, I wonder if... And it could be a heat problem.
Oh, interesting.
It could be a heat problem because if World of Warcraft is taxing the...
Now, if I recall, Tim is an architect, so he's probably hammering... if he's still using this computer for architect guy stuff.
He's an architect?
I think so.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. Tim has responded. I am running a Dell Dimension 4800.
Snap, nice machine.
With a Pentium 4 2.4 gigahertz processor, is a gig of RAM.
Oh, yeah.
512 is the Dell's is the from the factory. Another 512 he believes is from Kingston. He's running XP Pro Service Pack 2, and he has an ATI Radeon 9800 graphics card. The blue screen looks similar to the blue screen of death, but there is no text. The ticking is the same speed, very rapid until I shut it off.
Very rapid doesn't sound like hard drive to me. That sounds like you're describing some kind of sound instruction getting caught.
Well, I mean, okay, Tim, if and you're listening, so that's great.
Hey, Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Is the you said sound coming from the CPU? Is it coming from the box, or is it coming out of the speakers?
And he could be listening only to his CPU speakers. His
but it could be the same exact instruction. Like, eventually he reaches a point in the game or whatever, a particular instruction crashes everything, and the drive is doing the same thing every time when this instruction happens. It has to do the same little exercise or whatever, and maybe that, if it is a noise coming from, see, if it's a noise coming from the CPU, I think it can only be coming from one thing, and that's the hard drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what else makes noise besides a fan?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're saying like the actual internal speaker.
Yeah, which is would fit with what you're talking about with the.
But the internal speaker.
Maybe that's what he's using. Maybe
no. I mean, I'm sure he's using real, you know, external speakers.
Yeah, with a machine like this, probably.
So yeah, Tim, is it coming from inside the actual chassis of your computer, or is it coming from the speakers?
Is that Tim?
I just got a new. I don't know. I just got a new voice message. I'm glad my phone didn't ring. So okay.
Well, looking at the specs, you got a great machine there. Does Memtest still exist out there?
Yeah. So I was gonna say, what I'm curious about though, and I feel a little embarrassed about this, and that's why I wish Dewey was here.
Sorry, it's cold in here.
It's usually not this small. My intellect. Basically, I know that Memtest and Memtest 86, Memtest 86 Plus, and even Microsoft has a nice little. Boot time memory checker. You might want to check your RAM, Tim. We may have gone through this before, but you might want to do a RAM test, and I'd let it run for about half an hour. See if you get any errors at all. It should be completely error-free. What?
Does it have a finish state, or do you just let it run?
Well, I haven't done it in a while. You know what it does? It does like a handful of different passes. It starts with doing ones and zeros, and it does like patterns, and it does random, and then it does different like kind of
Google Memtest has a lot of options.
Well, Memtest 86.
Yep, that's number one.
Memtest 86 Plus.
Yep.
And if you were to Google Microsoft memory test, you would get theirs as well, which is also a boot thing. And you can put it on a floppy, or you can get an ISO
CD-ROM.
Make a CD to boot from if you don't have a floppy. And I would say that's one place to look, because if it's hitting the same like.
All of a sudden,
bad
it's poking
page,
in the right spot, wrong spot.
You know, and you're hitting a bad out. Page in the memory, you would have a problem. Now, the thing about making the noise, just that says hard drive to me, and that seems like the game. Man, it just seems like the game crashes the machine in such a way that it gets hung up in an instruction. It
yeah,
gets
that's
hung
like
up
a hardware
so bad.
Level crash, yeah.
And it, yeah, it's like a hard, kind of like a hardware crash.
Which
almost.
Even the RAM might explain that though.
Yeah, or the video RAM. And the thing is there a video RAM tester?
I'm on it.
That's what I want to know. Is there mem test for video RAM?
Video.
I mean, you would think that there would be.
I'm positive there must be some way to do it. But I wonder how reliable they are, because every vendor may have their own or something. Da da da. Da-da-da.
Now here's something. One of our listeners, Peggy Kroll, who is just a lovely person and a dear, dear friend to my dear mumsy. I believe they're
mumsy. What are you, English tonight?
I believe she is an old college chum of my mother's, and they're still very good friends to this day, which is always nice to see.
That's because of the crazy stuff people do in college. You don't even want to know what your mom was up to with Peggy.
You know, I kind of don't want to know, but I have to say that they kind of went to school before things got really wild on college campuses.
They may have helped that happen. I don't know.
Well, I agree, but they went to school from I believe it was like 62 to 65.
I'm sure they're pleased you published that.
You know what? They were basically in school. Like, you know the scene when they go to pick up Fawn Leibowitz in Animal House? The girl
yes.
who died?
Yeah.
And they go, and her... Eric Stratton pretends to be her boyfriend, and they're like, oh, Fawn died, and you know they feel sorry for him, so her girlfriends agree to go out with him because he doesn't want to be alone, you know? That whole scam that he runs?
No, I don't.
And they're in this very quiet dorm room with a young, you know, girl at the front desk, you know, and blah, 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 and I think that's the kind of school environment they were in. They went to Cedar Crest College, which is a small all-girls school in the Lehigh Valley area.
Your mom's into that kind of thing, huh?
she's into Allentown, man. And she married my dad. She met my dad when he was a student at Lehigh, which was just down the road, I guess.
Score. Nice MRS right there.
MRS?
MRS degree.
What's MRS?
Mrs.
Oh, MRS. Oh, right.
That's good. Never heard that one? I didn't make that up.
That's very good. no, master of the relational science, relationship sciences.
Oh, that's good. I never heard
like that. Yeah, I just made that up.
That's pretty good.
But anyway, I've actually been to Cedar Crest. It's a beautiful campus, but I think it's very, I think things are pretty chill there. You know, it's kind of wooded and isolated maybe a little bit, and you know, it's all girls, so I think they got the lockdown on it a little bit, you know.
Girls get up to stuff, man.
Keep them boys out.
At least I hope.
Maybe Peggy could write us back and give us a little taste of what the college life was like in Cedar Crest in 1964 or whatever.
Yes,
and they had a very strange name for their yearbook also.
Yeah.
I want to say it's like it's something like the I know this isn't it because this is the name of the Maryland Terrapin. It's kind of like Testudo, but that's not it. And it's not placebo. But it's something like that. It's like ends in O.
Latin
it ends in
and
O.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think it ends in it's O. It's Latin. Like it's like Prospero, but it's not. It's like the
Prospero's really short books.
Prospero's class of 65 book. She sent us a link though about this thing called,
speaking of your Terps, your Pins, they
women's basketball championship,
female or men's lacrosse, number 2 in the country, got upset by the unseeded UMass,
one of the few Division I schools to have their mascot that doesn't end in S.
UMass? Where are they?
The Minutemen.
Minutemen's?
They're not the Minutemen's. And they're not the Minute Mean. They're the Minute Mans.
Manses.
They're the Minutemen, along with things like the Orange Men.
The Orange now.
Or Orange.
Yeah.
They
the Red
be,
Men.
They used to be the
gone.
Red Men.
Red
now,
Storm.
Now the Red Storm.
Yeah.
Fighting Irish.
That is an SH. If you're well, drunk, it sounds the same.
Fighting Irish is the Wolf Pack.
Yes.
I believe the Wolf Pack is in two different places, too. I think, like, Nevada or something.
No, I don't know. Yeah. Like yeah, they've been...
Something like Nevada State Wolf Pack or something weird like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's Crimson Tide.
Bama.
There's the Midshipmen.
Men seems like a Navy. Rip-off because that is a plural.
Just as doesn't end in S.
But, yeah, but
the Stanford Cardinal.
Eliminate plurals.
Stanford Cardinal refers to their color. Of a cardinal red. And I believe Harvard is called the Crimson.
Well, you know, the Orangemen, and now the Orange, were named Orangemen, not after William of Orange or anything Protestant.
But because of the tropical climate in Syracuse where they grew orange trees?
No, just because of the color. If you read the Wikipedia article on it, they had some atrocious colors before they chose orange.
Oh, good.
Like rose and teal or something.
The Syracuse
Teal
Men. And
this is in like 1890.
Men.
I don't know what's
Syracuse
going on
Teal
there.
Men.
That doesn't sound good.
I think the Tulane...
Syracuse also lost in the semis, by the way, the lacrosse team. I watched it all on ESPN2 this weekend.
Oh, cool, cool.
I love lacrosse. It's a great fucking
game. It's a really it's a hell of a game, and Syracuse produced the two greatest college lacrosse players of all time.
The Gates
back
brothers.
Back to back. No.
You talking about
Jim Brown? Jim Brown and Ernie Davis.
I don't know Ernie Davis.
Oh, you got to find out about...
Well, the Gates brothers were founding members of all the current... No. Professional leagues. So
Ernie Davis is one of the saddest stories in all of sports.
Really?
Yes. Because he was just like Jim Brown. He played lacrosse and he played football at Syracuse. In fact, Jim Brown helped
also
bring him to
track
the school.
As well, didn't he?
Yep.
He was a
probably
three sport all-American.
He was a brilliant athlete. He broke all of Jim Brown's records in football at Syracuse.
That
like
bastard.
He ran like the Dickens, man.
Well, that line must have been really good too. If that's
and
the case.
He was drafted by the Cleveland Browns.
Nice.
And he never played a down. He never played a down for the Browns. He died of leukemia in his first year with the Browns. He got sick in training camp and he died. And Art Modell can't talk about him without crying because...
That heartless fuck?
I know, but actually Art Modell is, you know, probably in many ways a very sweet and sentimental guy. Maybe to a fault at times.
Screw him.
But at one point Ernie Davis came into his office and he's like, you know, Ernie, what can I do for you? He's like, I just came to say goodbye. And then he died 2 days later.
Nice. Well, you know, if Jim Brown had been dying, maybe he wouldn't have dumped him. Pissed off Jim Brown, gotten him out of town.
Well, all I know is that if you read the story of Ernie
or
Davis,
Paul Brown,
it's absolutely devastating.
I'm looking him up on Wikipedia.
Tim Wurzel wrote back.
He wrote back twice, actually. In
he
time did. We've been rambling.
He wrote, the sound
were
is
coming.
Were
you ever going to finish the Peggy reference, by the way?
Oh. Oh, yeah. She got the name. She got the name of the yearbook. She remembers. It was Espejo.
What?
E-S-P-E-J-O. Espejo.
Wow, that's crazy. This is in New England?
Espejo. She goes, don't ask what it means. She didn't graduate. She gave up on twice a week non-denominational Christian chapel. She goes, what about my question, or did I miss your answer? You didn't miss our answer. I was just about to get to it.
I'm looking up the translation for Espejo.
I've been ever
way.
So slightly distracted.
I assume that's Spanish.
Yes, Tim.
Could be Portuguese.
Okay, so what are we going to do first? Tim's sound is coming from inside the box.
Tim, we're about done with, if you want to wrap that up.
We are?
We don't got much more to give.
Well, Tim, how about you do this? Maybe, you know what? The MEM test program is so small.
Mirror. Spanish for mirror, Espejo.
Oh, Espejo is mirror. Why not call it the mirror?
What is it? Clearwater Lake? What's the place called?
What?
What was the college?
Cedar Crest College.
Cedar Crest Mirror. That's nice. I like that.
That's nice. Espejo. Now, Tim, before we move on any further, why don't you go get MEM Test 86 or MEM Test 86 Plus.
Ernie Davis, first African-American to win the Heisman.
There you go. The guy was off the charts. Go get MEM Test 86 Plus.
Drafted by the Redskins, traded to the Browns.
Okay. Well, what can I say? I thought the Browns drafted him. Yeah. They wanted him big time. And what were the Redskins thinking, giving up that guy? I mean, obviously, it turned out to be I think they got Mike Oliphant for him. Okay, so basically, go get MEM Test 86.
Maybe.
What?
I don't know.
No, hang on. Tim, let us take a break from your question for a second by you going to get MEM Test 86 Plus. And then why don't you do a memory test for a few minutes,
yeah.
and then come back and join back up with the show.
And I believe ATI also has a video memory test that I found looking for video memory test. About fourth link down in Google.
Okay, why don't you look for that too? Why don't you get both of those and make sure that you don't have some faulty memory? Because if you have some faulty memory, you could find that in the very similar spot every time that you will run into a situation that... You
some
know,
things
this
that are
could
coded
happen.
For speed will poke right into a particular place as opposed to just going anywhere in memory.
That's right. That's right. And another thing might be to maybe invest in something like SciSoft, Sandra, or something like that to do a kind of a stress test temperature-wise, like do a burn-in test. Or maybe like go get a thing that does pi. You've seen that? Like it does pi or prime numbers or something like that in order to stress your CPU to 100%. For as long as you want.
Interesting, yeah.
So you could peg your CPU at 100% for like a half an hour and see if your computer comes out the other side. You know what I mean?
Watch it blow up.
Okay, so Peggy asked us about something called Bugnosis.
I looked for it, and then I guess she got a link on PC World, which we're in the middle of referencing with.
It was like Bugnosis.org. I'm trying to figure out exactly what this is. Bugnosis Beta 1.3 now available. Find out who's tracking you on the web. I don't quite follow what they're talking about. Let's go to the FAQs.
PC World says, one way sleazy advertisers monitor your surfing habits is with web bugs, invisible graphics embedded in web pages or email that return data to the tracker's website. It's a little invisible GIF. You never see it, but it's a call on a web server.
Right.
And it's really easy to get stats out of web
That's
servers.
That's right. But why do you have to do that? I mean, aren't you getting stats anyway?
Well, if someone reads your email, you just stick in a little
almost,
HTML
Well, the
GIF,
thing about email now,
you know
though,
for sure.
Here's the thing about email. If you're using Outlook 2003, okay, or Gmail, it will not download pictures
until you
explicitly
right.
say so.
But there is an easy way to make it always do it, and many people probably do.
Well,
I don't.
I mean, you can go through the junk mail options and say add this sender or add this sender's domain to the safe senders list, and then it will always download. But now, you know, Outlook doesn't even render the HTML anymore.
Well, here's
you say so.
Right. Here's what Bugnosis, true to its name, Bugnosis analyzes the pages you visit. I don't know how that's true to its name. And alerts you when it finds any of these pesky things, these web bugs, as they call them.
Okay.
Runs a battery of tests on each suspicious graphic on a web page when you first open it. If the program finds a possible web bug, it alerts you with a sound, uh-oh, and makes the culprit visible so you can see where it is placed on the web page. Sounds like it's solving a problem that isn't really a problem.
I mean, I guess my thing is that, you know, you know, I'm somebody who is just loves the internet, okay? I mean, I just love it. I just find it fun and exciting, and I feel like I have taken... I'm not one of these security nutsos, okay?
No, I see what you're saying.
I'm somebody who's like, you know what? The nature of the beast is that people are going to be able to know where I'm going. They can pretty much put it together if they really want to know.
I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but I definitely feel that if someone's legitimately wants some information, you know,
someone
corresponding with legitimately, that's okay with
me. But, I mean, it's critical that web servers be able to catalog who is coming, who's been there, and where they came from. You know, I mean, this is, they have a right to know if people are coming to their website that maybe shouldn't be or are doing so in an abusive manner, you know, these like sort of denial of service type attacks and things like that. You know, these web logs are, these access logs are critical. So it's like, I know that if I go to someone's website, they know I've been there, and I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's like kind of, it's like...
The other thing it says here is
it's James. It's James.
The program is no longer supported by the vendor, but it still works.
Not supported by the vendor? We have Dr. J the Science Gay on the line, I believe.
We do.
J-Dog.
What's happening?
Nothing. I'm doing a remote here. Doing a remote from the Barking Spider.
Oh, excellent.
How's the show going so far?
The show's going very well. We've been struggling mightily with a Tim Wurzel bare metal question of the week.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear, by the way, that the bare metal question of the week is the nickname that appears to have stuck. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I like this. I like that segment name also.
Mike, I'm wondering, what are we struggling about? What was his bare metal? I missed
He's got a problem with World of Warcraft where every single time he plays, about 10 to 15 minutes in, it goes blue screen on him, but not official blue screen of death, just blue screen, and he gets like a rhythmic ticking noise from inside the computer, and the whole thing's pretty much locked up, and he has to shut down.
Buy a new memory card, or buy a new video card.
Well, we have directed him into test his RAM, and if possible, to test his video card's RAM, and make sure...
He's not using a plug-in video card. He's in trouble, I bet.
Yeah, I think he is an ATI Radeon 9800.
Yeah, ATI Radeon.
Get rid of that. Oh, it's a piece of shit. Get rid of it. That's a piece of duty pie.
Someone's drinking.
Get rid of it.
All right, Tim. I think Tim James has a very legitimate question, which is the video card the one that came with the machine, or is this aftermarket video card?
It's a plug-in, but they're like five generations beyond a 9800 now. I mean, it's got 120. I could be wrong, but I think it's either 128 or 256. I mean, get an X800. You can get an X800 for a couple hundred bucks if he really likes World of Warcraft. You know, spend the money, play it right.
Well, okay, Tim. There's your Dr. J tough love of the week.
You've been called cheap.
That's right, Dr. J. Suck it up and pay for it, bitch.
Wow. So there you go.
That's my suggestion. Hey, I got some flair real quick. I want to talk to you about some flair.
That's true. Are
we in the mood for some flair?
Sure. Dr. J did mention that he had a piece of flair.
Bust
so
it.
By all means.
I actually have two pieces of flair. I'll start with the first one that I received as a present. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it is a digital picture frame. You plug in an SD chip or any other type of storage, you know, device that you want, however you store your shit, SD, compact flash, whatever,
right?
And with some pictures on it, and this thing, you plug it in, and this thing will run the pictures through, and it's really pretty neat. It's about $100, and if you've got a new baby,
brand.
You just got married, something like that, a very nice gift. It's like I said, it's about $100,
yeah.
Down from a lot.
And I think you can get them.
Cool.
You can even get them just about anywhere now.
Yeah.
Definitely get them online. That probably would be a good thing to get on eBay, maybe, and. Actually, I have a client who has one in her kitchen, and it's really kind of cool because every time, you know, her kids send her pictures of her grandkids and stuff, she can just upload a whole batch of new pictures and where
right.
she, you know, when she's preparing a hearty meal for her husband. I don't know what the hell she does in her kitchen, But the point is that I have seen those, and you know what? Flat out, they work, and they're pretty
cool.
Yeah,
a couple years ago, they were all $300.
The resolution is not bad at all. The color's a little bit less. It's certainly not, you know, looking at an LCD screen, but it's pretty nice.
Well, you know what? They've been around for at least a handful of years, but they were a hell of a lot more expensive than they are today.
Right.
Today,
right.
It's something that almost everyone with any kind of disposable income can afford. So,
Father's Day is coming up.
Father's Day is coming up. That's
good,
right.
Exactly. Father's Day is a good wedding present. It's coming in the summer. A great baby shower gift, you know. I'm just saying. All right, you ready for another piece of flair?
We're ready.
All right, so as a new father, I had to shell out the big bucks for the Mother's Day. So I dropped a couple $100 and I bought myself a video recorder. But I didn't want to buy a mini DV. I didn't know whether I should buy one of the burnable. So I bought the new JVC with the hard drive. I think it's a JVC with the hard drive video recorder. And I got to tell you, it is unbelievable. The thing is no bigger than a mug of beer. And it's light, it's easy to use, and it downloads everything very quickly. The only trouble I've had is turning it from its proprietary format over to an AVI or an MPEG, but I figured that out pretty quickly first time I had to use it. Unbelievable. If you're looking for a camcorder, the hard disk ones are the way to go. I got the 20 gig one, and it's great.
How much recording time does that get you?
I can get, the limiting factor is actually the battery, how much battery that you can have.
Wow.
The battery's only about an hour and a half's worth. But
ouch.
I can put 4.5 hours onto the 20-gig hard drive.
An hour and a half battery? That seems very short.
It is, but at the same time, I'm not recording my kid's football game yet, or my kid's softball game yet, or a dance recital.
And if he takes after dad, then there's no hope.
Well, now
they do make a 3-hour battery. Plus, I think the other idea is that you buy multiple batteries, so in case one starts to go south, you put another one in.
Well, what about, when you were shopping, did you see any that used any kind of flash memory or anything that was a much more low-power alternative than an actual hard drive?
This is the first thing that I've seen that doesn't have a media storage that's a plug-in and removable type of thing. That's not DV, that's not, you know, the mini DVD players, or it's not straight to DVD. You know, everything else has a media. This is the first one that I've seen with something like that. This actually does have an SD. It has a gig of SD that you put inside of it, but I can't imagine that's going to store that much. You know, maybe a couple 20 minutes.
Well, I've seen some compact flash. Now, you can get the pen drives now that are 2 gigs, and that's not even compact flash, is it? I mean, that's like, what is that?
It's a type of flash memory inside.
Okay,
of
type of flash memory. It's like two gigs on that, and I've seen those go as high as 6 and 8 gigs. Now I've seen 8 gigs in the Sky Mall, and I assume that's one of those little micro drives in there or some kind of. But did you, you know, this is very interesting, James, because I think that we're entering into we have a brand new age in hard drive storage that literally has come about in the last 30 days. The Seagate released its 750-gig vertical or perpendicular hard drive, which instead of writing, it does it vertically, like stands the particles like on end, kind of, instead of laying flat on the platter.
Okay.
And so apparently it's quite a bit faster, and they can pack a hell of a lot more of these particles onto the platter.
Interesting.
And so now they're doing 750 gig, and they're giving a 5-year warranty on them too, and with cache and like intelligent read write and stuff. Seagate. It's just that battery life really that definitely scares me a little bit.
There's a long life battery, a mid life battery, and then a short time battery, and it just depends on what you want. The first thing I did, anybody who's going to buy a camcorder, anybody who bought any kind of camera or anything like that, the first thing you do is you get extra batteries. You make sure you have power. I have 2 batteries for it. One's charged, one's on the thing and charged, and if you run out, you put the other one in.
Once you get
to the point where I need to record longer periods of time, longer stretches of time, then buy another battery.
You'll probably be in the market for another camera in a few years anyway.
Honestly, I don't think so. I'll tell you, I really don't think so. This is fantastic. It does all kinds of great stuff. The software it comes with, in and of itself, is really great. It's got power director, power producer. I don't know who it's by, but it's really kind of a nice thing to be able to put movies together with.
All right, so you're going to bring it to the next show then, right?
I'm going to try to.
He'll never be back.
I'll make it furloughed. I'll probably miss next week. I'll probably have to be in the following week.
All right, well, bring it with you, and we'll
I'll see what I can do.
You'll demonstrate it for us.
I will try to.
Awesome, okay? Dude. All right, man, thanks.
You bet. Thanks for letting me do my remote. Gentlemen, take it slow, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, awesome, Dr. J. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, take care, dude.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ernie Davis, never played a game for the Browns.
Yeah.
Had his number retired.
That's right. That's how unbelievably beloved of a guy. And he was a great human being, Russ. He was like the sweetest, nicest guy. Of course, I wasn't there, but... This is what I'm told. Now, we've got all kinds of messages here. we got to get caught up here. Peggy says that...
Bugnosis. Yeah, do we have a wrap-up for that?
Well, hold on one second.
Hold on.
She was... it's a very... very small... Cedar Crest was very small. 100 women per class. Early 60s. Had a lot of freedom, but all things being equal, of course, it had to sign in and out of the dorm. So, yeah, it was interesting. She transferred to Hofstra. And, yeah, so about what did you come up with ultimately about Bugnosis? That it's not supported by its...
They said on PC World that it's not supported by its vendor anymore, but it still works. So they were recommending it if you're worried about web bugs, but they also have the caveat that web bugs are not that big of a deal.
Yeah, so I think, you know, like I said, to me, a lot of this stuff is a philosophical approach to surfing that you just take it for granted that your movements to a certain degree can be watched, okay? But it's, for the most part, a very anonymous sort of movement that they're looking at. They're not so much looking at you as the individual. They're just kind of looking at kind of what people in general are doing, and they can gather so much data so fast that, you know, it's not so much that they want to know what you're doing, but they kind of want to know what people are doing. And maybe what people like DoubleClick are able to do is somehow associate, well, you know, maybe they're somehow able to associate like demographics with this. And maybe that's what their specialty is.
But that would require other stuff. The stuff they get from this is stuff they can get almost incredibly easier other ways. If someone really locks themselves down other ways, then you might approach this, but I wouldn't worry about it. And we have an article here from her from the Jerusalem Post online edition. And it talks about towards the end here that web bugs can. It's really, this is a scare piece, by the way. Web bugs can let you know that where your IP is and where you're located and blah, blah, blah. What ad affiliate or flash banners will interest you based on your location? Like, what's the big sin there?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think that in many ways, it's really nothing to be concerned about. And, you know, it might be cool to download it just to see, you know, who is, what web pages are actually employing this technology. But for the most part, they're not really going to know a whole lot about you. They just want to know what's going on, or maybe they're trying to do something to cheat the search engines or something. I don't know.
It's just, yeah, they're not finding out that much. It's not that big of a deal, and they're finding out stuff from where you're surfing from anyway. So it's not a huge deal.
I wouldn't worry about it too much. And she also wanted to know how many people were listening. I think at one point it was two.
It's two right now.
It's two right now.
It is.
I thought I just looked and it was one.
It was two and I left.
Well, maybe Tim just
maybe
got back.
I didn't reload.
Maybe Tim left to do a mem test and then came back.
Or maybe he's
I've got
tuned
one.
Us out because we were, he was
one.
Told his stuff is crap.
We didn't say his stuff was crap. What I think somebody James did. Was saying was that it, you know, that it's time to go out and I think what he's saying is that he believes that the video card that he's using is the one that came
like
with the
system. That
sounds
like a crap load of memory to me. 128 or 256 on your graphics card?
Seems like a lot to me. 256 seems like a pretty fair amount, but I think there are 512s out now.
I don't know,
but do you really need it?
I don't freaking know.
You know.
So in terms of what's busted there, yeah.
I mean, it's definitely one of these situations where it would be curious to see what would happen if he got a new video card.
Yeah, that's
or,
a good...
you know, but that's, we're talking about a money investment here. And, of course, you could go to the store, get a video card.
Micro Center
in Troy, Michigan. You could put it in, see if World of Warcraft crashed or not. If it still crashes, pop it out, put the old one back in, return it to the store, and say, hey, this thing crashed. You know?
Because
it did.
Yeah, I know.
But he hasn't answered the question yet, which is he working with the factory, you know, the video card that came with the computer from the factory, or did he go out and get that ATI Radeon? And he says he has the latest drivers, which I believe. But you said, I also want to hear if he was able to test the memory. So that's, you know, I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're there yet on Tim.
We don't have too much more to offer.
But we've had a bare metal question of the week. We've had pieces of flair.
We have.
We are at about I don't know. We're almost at an hour.
What Irv is saying is.
What I'm saying is we got
to
think about.
You don't have to go home.
We got to think about going into the home stretch here.
She can't stay here.
And Peggy has one last message that says, thanks for the info. She appreciates it. And generally, the Jerusalem Post is a scare newspaper. But for the good news, try the Haaretz.
Well, everything is a scare paper these days. That's what makes news.
Well, that's true. I mean, the press uses scare tactics to remain relevant in many ways, especially the print press. But then again, hasn't news and the press often been about, you know, what's to be scared about today, what you need to be concerned about, what's news?
Sure.
You know? Yeah, I think for the good news, you really should go get People magazine.
Yeah, that's not scary. That's all uplifting stuff.
Yeah, it's like...
Shiloh. What do you think about Shiloh?
Best and worst dressed. What?
You haven't Shiloh? Heard about Shiloh?
What's Shiloh? Should I know about Shiloh?
Brangelina's child. His name's
Shiloh. Oh, did she gave birth in like Namibia or
Correct.
Something?
Correct. And I heard they said, and the child will be offered Namibia citizenship. First of all, don't you just get citizenship wherever you are? Do you need to be offered? Do you have a chance to refuse?
I think they're going to let the baby decide if the baby wants
if
to suckle from
its head
the
out
from Angelina's
and sees its shadow.
Left breast. It will accept the Namibian citizenship, but if it wants the right,
I was
breast,
thinking that'd be like the most perfect kid in the world. But you know, pretty people often have like their own unique thing that makes them so attractive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you just meld a couple unique things together, it might not be a pretty.
I think
kid.
A lot of the most beautiful people come from the mingling of varied genetic, you know, quite varied genetic strains. You know, like I don't
Were
say
you
like
say Tiger Woods.
I was gonna say Tiger
you
Woods.
Think he's pretty.
I think he no. What I'm saying though is that he's a, like an amazing human being.
You can be attracted to him. It's not judgment.
I wish I hadn't said Tyra Banks. What I meant to say was Tyra Banks.
They're freaky bug eyes and
all
a
right.
weird forehead.
Let's just all come to grips with the fact that I'm desperately
a
in love with
attracted.
Tiger Woods.
He changed the sport.
No, and actually, I think he's kind of a bucktooth, strange-looking guy. But the thing about it is that.
But you like that.
But I think that you'll find that. You know, I don't think I know what the hell I'm talking about. How about that?
Well, I'm just saying this kid won't necessarily be that good-looking.
Right. Actually, Jerky LaBeouf at the Dirt Files, over at dirtfiles.com.
I don't know that.
Had a thing today where he wanted to know which. Whether, well, I think, what did he say? It was something about to the effect of, you know, whose daughter will you want to have sex with more, Tom and Katie's or Brad and Angelina's?
Is Shiloh a daughter? I thought it was a boy. I don't really
know. I think it's a girl.
Isn't Shiloh like a Neil Diamond song or something?
Shiloh, you used to call your name.
I thought so.
Shiloh. da, 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 and you stay
coming to America.
Yeah, I know that's not quite the same song.
Hey, I have a thing to add to the bad tech stuff.
We've kind of abandoned that
well,
thing. We gotta go back.
It's a long ass list, man. We're not gonna get through all that.
Gotta go back though.
But my addendum is modern shrink wrap.
Wait. You mean
whatever
the
they
blister
put it in
packaging
now. Yeah.
Or whatever the stuff you can't open without scissors?
The worst.
I love the ones that
I've
just
harmed
have like
myself.
I like the ones that just have like four or five like kind of like pressed in areas anchors, where you just kind of pull them apart. But I think those in the store, you could probably open it, steal the stuff out.
I know their point, but once again, it's the world treating its customers like criminals. I got in a big altercation the other day at Costco.
Did you? Why, about checking your receipt?
About leaving without being treated like a criminal?
That. I hate it.
There was a huge line. I was in a hurry, so I was like, I'm just going to go out. And so this little old lady grabs onto my cart and is I'm like, let go of my cart. This is my stuff. I paid for it. And she's like, no, you can't leave. I'm like, what do you mean? I paid for all this stuff.
Yeah, and?
Well, management came over. It was pretty ugly.
wait, now what is their point? How can do they have the law on their side or not?
I said, it's mine a few times. And they said, no, it's not until it leaves the store. I said, what do you mean? I give you my money. This is mine. Now, I think the fact that I have their cart puts in a gray area. They can tell me what to do with their cart for sure. But if I didn't have it in a cart and it was just in a bag or something, I was holding it.
Yeah.
They can't stop me from walking out with my stuff. There was an article about somebody who did a similar thing at Best Buy and just walked out, and they freaked out and said, are you going to arrest me for shoplifting? And they were like, no. Well, then what are you doing? Let go of my stuff.
Well, then I really want to know. I mean, I really want to know, what is the law? Are they allowed to stop me?
I don't think they are.
Even if I have their stuff. I mean, I think the cart
I think
is,
with the cart, they
no,
have an argument.
Well, see, but the cart is...
It's theirs.
Yeah, it's theirs, but I think that it's unwritten. I think it's pretty much assumed that the cart is, like, mine
but
while
I'm
using it.
What if they thought you were going to steal the cart? That would be a legitimate reason to stop you from taking it, right?
Well, they could say, where'd you get that cart? Or where are you going with that cart?
Right.
But I'm allowed to take the cart to my car. I mean, isn't that kind of like an unwritten... I mean, I think we have a meeting of the minds there, that the cart is mine to use but not abuse. It's kind of like...
But I think in terms of real legal standing, I don't see why they couldn't claim that that's theirs and you're doing something they don't want with it, which is leaving the store.
I guess you have...
Even though everybody else gets to.
That, to me, seems to like violate the whole spirit of the sort of situation there. I mean, we have an understanding that, you know, I'm going to... You know, you're giving me the use of the cart so I can buy more shit one time.
Sure.
I mean, if they don't give me the cart, I'm not walking out with $140 worth of garbage.
Is really crazy.
The whole what?
Treating you like a criminal every time you go to the store.
I thought I heard you say that the whole creme brulee thing is crazy.
Creme brulee and flan. Think about flan for a second. It jiggles.
The way it jiggles. Creme brulee, on the other hand,
I got into another altercation with the police this week.
What's going on with you, buddy? Is it are you crazy from the heat?
I don't take authority well, I guess. So I was dropping someone off at the friendly match here in Cleveland this weekend.
The what?
The friendly, the USA Venezuela soccer match.
Oh, the friendly. Yeah.
And there's a little street that leads up to the stadium, and I'm in a line of cars, and we get to a little corner, and we're like, oh, here's where we're supposed to meet the people. I'm not getting out. I'm just dropping someone off. You want to hop out here? She says, yes. Okay. We start hopping out. And the cop at the little intersection starts waving me on. I'm like, hang on a second. Hold up my hand, hold up a finger. I don't remember exactly. But a little. 1 second.
Yeah.
She gets out. I look up, and here he is next to my window.
Yeah.
Give me your license and registration. You're obstructing traffic. And as I reach for my license, I say, don't you think we're obstructing it more now? Then I realized I'd just gotten off a plane that day. When I travel for a plane, I usually put my license in my shirt pocket. I no longer had that shirt on. I didn't have my license with me.
Oh, Russ.
So that hurt. So
I hurt your cause a little bit?
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I don't have it with me. And he goes, pull over there. You're under arrest. And I'm like, okay. I pull over there. And he's like, you know, I could put you under arrest for this. I'm like, okay. He's like, you have to have your license on you all the time, even when you're walking around. And I said, that's not true. So basically, he just wanted me to knuckle on down to his authority and be nice and say how sorry I was.
Yeah, and
a jerk.
That's the thing. The thing about it is that cops or police officers or law enforcement are, when they're doing their job, it's like if they're not completely humorless prick bastards 24/7, then everyone's just going to run roughshod over them. But see, the reason that everyone's going to run roughshod over them if they're not assholes to everyone all the time is because they're assholes to everyone all the time. It's like this self-fulfilling prophecy.
I think
they're bringing
exactly
it on.
People don't respect. Yeah.
They're bringing it on because we're all being treated like criminals all the time. We're all
clearly the best thing in this situation was to let me drive on. everything would have been interrupted. Clearly. Less, he wouldn't have been out of the intersection for the time it took him to write me a ticket.
I drove through an intersection recently when, okay, it was before game four of Cavs Pistons. Okay?
And were you a witness?
I was a witness to a very unfortunate state of affairs.
Game four was good.
Well, no, game four was good, but I was also a witness to game six and seven, which were really, really
I was in Miami for game seven, and boy, was I hoping.
Yeah.
That they were going to be down there the week I was down there.
And I'm sure Tim was and Tim did write us an email saying that I think he watched game seven.
Oh, yeah.
In Legacy Village.
Oh, that's right. He said that.
And he was surrounded by Cavs fans, and he was pretty uncomfortable for him.
Yes.
And, you know, I think it would have been less uncomfortable for him if the Pistons weren't such, I don't know, babies?
They're babies?
I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are.
Well,
but
in trouble
it really,
is what they are.
It really, what?
They're in trouble now is what they are.
Well, they are in trouble now, but it just kind of sickens me when they win. I don't know. I just, they're not a likable team.
You're pulling for
me.
Is it Sheed? You don't like the Sheed?
I don't like Sheed. I don't like, I don't like a few people on that team.
I got to say, the guy that stood out against us, Tayshaun, really impressed the hell
out
of me.
Well, Tayshaun Prince can flat out play.
Man,
he is a nightmare matchup.
All of our close games were lost, I think.
Well, I mean, the close games that we lost,
that's
we won.
I mean. Yes, yeah, so we won some.
A couple. But Tayshaun Prince is just an unbelievably hard
consistent
guard.
The only guy on that team that didn't make the All-Star team. Yeah.
I don't know. Definitely Sheed is a major
They're all
problem.
Players. There's no
but
doubt.
But the problem is that I saw a lot of behavior that to me was like, well, okay. I mean, what can you say? Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. And that means for them it's more important than winning with any kind of honor. You know what I mean? They'll flop.
Really?
They will
oh,
flop and cry.
Flops.
Well, you know what? They didn't do what Rip Hamilton did, which was take contact, turn around, and then jump to the floor at one point.
Really? I missed
okay,
that.
The only people on Cleveland who flop is
Damon Jones.
Well,
really,
you know,
like
Damon Jones is kind of I didn't see a lot of what I would consider flopping on Cleveland. What I saw was a lot of people trying to take charges, okay? But what I see,
that's true.
Which is one thing, okay? I mean, you're trying to take the charge, you get into position, or you think you are, you get hit, and then you fall down, but you get knocked down. But I think that what I saw a lot of the Pistons doing was just sort of trying to draw fouls by, you know, with histrionics, like little contact, and they would swing their arm around like they just got bashed or something. And it's like they'll win at any cost. And I think the Cavs need to learn something about that unfortunately – it's not so much that particular strategy, because I didn't see them get a lot of those foul calls, but it's symptomatic of a bigger thing, which is an attitude, which is they'll do whatever it takes, anything it takes to win a game, and the Cavs needed to do that in game six.
Oh yeah, that was the chance
for
right
sure.
There.
Okay, Tim is having a problem. He got the MM test 86 plus, but he cannot boot from that, and I've actually had that problem before, and that's like super frustrating. I don't know what's up with that. Downloaded the Memtest 86 ISO, and it won't boot from the CD-ROM, so it's going to get the floppy disk from work tomorrow and try it again tomorrow night. All right, that's cool, Tim. Let us know. Give us a heads up, and we'll talk about it on the next show, what kind of results you get.
If you don't hate us for hating on your Pistons.
Well, no, you know what? He can't hate us for that. Because they moved on, and you know, win or lose against the Heat, they beat us, and that's the that's
they're
the final
team.
Straw. Is ultimately you have to, in this case, begrudgingly, give respect to the Detroit Pistons for winning the series. I mean, the best of seven, the cream rises to the top, and they're just the better team.
I would
just
agree.
The better team. That's all there was to it.
At this point in time,
they were the better team. So congratulations to the Pistons, and congratulations to all the Detroit fans. There's probably not. Based on what my friends tell me who live up there, there isn't necessarily all that. Although the Tigers are doing real well.
Yeah, they are.
Or but,
the Indians are screwed.
Detroit is a city in a lot of turmoil. So it's good that they have things to be happy about, like the Pistons and the Tigers.
That
it's,
was
it's
very backhanded
it's
compliment.
The same. No, it's the same for Cleveland. It's really the same for Cleveland. I mean, it's like when our sports teams are doing well, it really is such a lift for this town because there's a lot to not be happy about. You know, it's just a lot of things that are wrong with Cleveland that need to be fixed or maybe irretrievably broken. And that's the same for Detroit. I mean, just they have major problems. They have a government that's too big.
Blame Canada.
Blame Canada. Well, probably let's blame Windsor.
That's right.
No, actually, I mean, I love my friends in Detroit and Michigan. What can I say? I don't like the Pistons, though. Fuck them. All right, back to that list. Let's run through it real quick, and then let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Number 7 was Microsoft Bob. It's something that people just rip on without...
You don't hate it that much?
No, I never hated it. I didn't care. I never hated Clippy either.
As long as I could turn it off, it was fine.
So Bob was like a thing where it was kind of trying to humanize the experience, you know, trying to make like the computing experience less like arbitrary and more like, you know, related to everyday things. It was like trying to take, you know, it was trying to take like text editing and turn it into what you see is what you get text editing. You know what I'm saying? It was trying to take like green screen to bitmap displays. I mean, it was kind of like trying to, you know, humanize the act of computing.
Well, I would say,
but it
is a corollary.
People
have you noticed
it,
how
I
bad
guess.
help pages are getting? If you go to help in any random program about a dialogue, all it does is like tell you what the dialogue says already. Gives you no additional information.
I have to say that Microsoft Office help is very good.
Yeah, I agree with that. But many programs have
number 80
help.
Is Microsoft Internet Explorer 6, and I think it's just because it was so vulnerable in so many ways, and it was hacked in so many different ways. So, I mean, I guess I can't really argue too much, although I like it better than Internet Explorer 7, which just I don't like because everything's in the wrong place, and I don't know. Although I have to say, I do like...
You've used 7?
Yeah, I have it on my machine down here.
Interesting.
I have to say this, though. I mean, it does use tab browsing, and it definitely borrows heavily from Firefox, but...
it's no invention of
theirs.
Let
me say this, though. It does have something that at least Firefox doesn't have natively. There might be a plugin for it, but it creates a little new... It has a little new tab button next to your last tab. So to start a new tab, you don't have to do Control T or anything like that. You just click that little thing and it opens starts another tab.
Gotcha.
I like that.
I can see that.
So number 9 was Press Play and MusicNet 2000 was MusicNet, and these were just really crappy music download things.
Napster, fight. terrible stuff.
Number 10 was DBase 4, which was just horribly buggy and sent Ashton Tate's market share from 70% to 40%. And then
very
to
impressive.
Zero because they got bought out.
Yeah.
So
that didn't impact me at all. That was 1988.
Yeah. I actually messed around with, I think, DBase 3. And it was...
Did you make a recipe file for your mom?
No, I didn't make a recipe file for my mom. But I was supposed to be entering data about like some lab results that were all... I had to like transfer them from paper to this database by hand. And it was horrible work. And I got about 1/1,000th of the way into it. And then I discovered the computer that I was working on had a cribbage game on it. And I played cribbage for the rest of the summer, and then I got fired. Okay, so...
nice.
Number 11 was Priceline Groceries and Gas.
You're good at counting your nibs, though, I bet.
Me and my nibs are close.
We do all right.
Me and my nibs, my nibbers.
15-2, 15-4, pair of 6.
Yeah, well, I actually scored. I actually got a hand that had 19 points.
Hot damn!
You can't. That's the one you can't get, I think.
Oh yeah.
It's like you can get everything from like 0 to 29, but you can't get 19.
Interesting.
It's interesting. I think I got what's the one like his knobs?
Yes. That's.
I forget now.
I haven't played in a while, but my family played a lot of that.
Priceline Groceries and Gas was pretty bad because you couldn't.
Yeah, it was a service that people didn't actually want. It's not what the net's for.
Yeah. Pointcast Network, I loved.
You know, it's funny about this. Pointcast. I worked at an ISP at the time, and they really wanted to get on new technologies and push stuff, so we were going to learn all about push and sell Marimba or be a VAR or some crap, and it just came and went in a second. As they point out here, RSS is very much what they were trying to do.
Yeah, but RSS isn't push. you go and you compare your copy of the RSS with theirs. It's pull.
But so it was in that way. So it was.
That's what no, I don't think doing. So.
Yeah, they were just pulling data constantly.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Then why'd they call it push?
Because it seemed like it.
Okay. Well, I loved having Pointcast on my computer, but yeah, I did eat bandwidth, and yeah, the screensaver would crash a lot. But I loved it, man. I thought it was awesome.
I knew some people used it, for sure.
The PC Junior was definitely a piece of junk. IBM PC Junior. My friend Matt Williams had one, and it definitely sucked, and we played on it, like, twice. Played Wizardry. If it could play Wizardry, I'll give it that.
1984, wow. Yeah, yeah, I was not touching computers.
I like the Gateway 10th anniversary PC had crappy, really crappy hardware.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's bad.
And this is an amazing one, number 15.
The zip drive.
Which is a mainstay of anyone, the graphics people, anyone who had large volume files at the time.
But there was definitely the dead drive thing, where they would go dead.
Yes, but...
And they would get the click, click, click sound, because the head was misaligned.
But if we had been using CDs then, people would have gotten scratches and bad CDs too. I think this is a little unfair, because that was a...
Now, the zip drive was pretty cool, I thought, and I really always wanted to have one, but I wound up going for a 2X CD-ROM that was SCSI.
Oh, nice.
Hooked up to a Pentium 200 64 megs of RAM. That thing worked. You know what? I actually successfully used that at Noteworthy.
Which is all of what,
which
three
was
years
I
ago?
Had it. I had it for 5-6 years. And I'll never forget this. Back then, a CD burner was a lot of money. And what was even more expensive in the long run was the fucking media.
Yeah, CDs were not cheap.
But I remember that there was used to be a website called onsale.com. And it was a auction site. You know, it was like a competitor of eBay and stuff. And they had some of the coolest features I've ever seen, Russ. You know, when it was like one of these like Dutch auction. It was a lot of them were Dutch auctions on there.
That's hot.
Do you know what that is?
That's when you both have your pants off and
that's
yeah,
a Dutch
I
oven.
Know, it's that's like a
no. The Dutch auction is like when you've got like 25, like a quantity up for bids.
Right. Yeah. So the highest gets the first one.
Like the highest
gets
the first one,
and
the first to bid a winning bid. You know,
at that price.
So like if you have 100, you have 25 to sell, and 50 people all bid $10. The first 25 of them would get
it. The first two will bid.
Well, the awesome thing was that. On sale would not only show you all the bids that were in, but it would give you like the initials of who had those bids, and you were allowed to put in like a 50 character comment next to your bid. So it was hilarious because you would see people like would be like, it's a quantity 10 at this low price, and they'd be like, these things are pieces of crap. I wouldn't pay more than $5 for them. You know, and they go, why are you buying them all, right? You know, stuff like that. It was pretty fun. And, like, other people would just put prayers in. Like, please, please let me get one. Please.
I've definitely seen that.
It was fun, man. And that site went down the tubes.
Anyway, you were on CDs. That was the way to
I got CDs there. I remember I got a stack of 50 CD media, which, oh, my God, where did they become coasters? There was no under-run protection. These things became coasters. And the quality of the media was just so inconsistent. But I remember I got 50 of them for $25 back then.
Nice.
That was usually like a, I don't know, $60-$80 item. Don't you use your mouth on the mic, not your eye.
I just beat myself in the head.
So let's say we got Comet Cursor.
All right, where are we at? Zip drives are cool.
The Mac Portable, which was 16 pounds.
Unluggable.
The IBM Death Star, known as the Death Star. The 75 gig hard drive,
some
which
drive
was known
that
the Death
died,
Star, because it failed all the time.
Didn't know that.
The 14-ounce OQO Model 1, which actually, those things are pretty sweet.
Slashed out, right?
This thing was like $1,900 and I guess like burned a hole in your pants.
And here's a classic.
The QCAT.
Number 20.
Actually, the QCAT is, I thought it was kind of a neat idea, but.
Well, the way people use computers then, if everyone had their laptop on their lap and their QCAT, it might work, but that works now. But
well,
then.
Like if you, like for me, it would have been cool, like if you'd use your QCAT. And you'd be reading the paper, okay? And like every article and every coupon and every comic strip and everything had a little barcode next to it. And you're just like, this interests me, zing. This interests me, zing. And you would do like 15 of them. And then later you go over to your computer and QCAT would like Bluetooth you know, to your computer, and it would just kind of spit out a page of like, here are the links you want, or and here's like cert related searches,
sure,
and blah,
absolutely,
blah, blah.
That could work.
And that seems like a possible idea. iTop wearable DVD player, just
never
make
heard
you
of that.
Sick. Apple Pippin. I never even knew about the Apple
I don't
Pippin.
Know what that is.
Which was, I guess, an internet-capable game console in 1996 with a 14.4 modem. Free PCs that killed you with ads, and you had to get like sign up for a year of internet. The DigiSense iSmell. I mean, did we ever?
I've heard of that, but it was always vaporware. It shouldn't be on this list. It was never a real product.
Vaporware.
Yes.
You get it?
Double entendre.
Okay. And the Sharp notebook. But I guess there's a this 3D notebook that made everyone sick. But I guess there's an honorable mentions list here of things
that
this
that
guy
up.
Hated, but not everybody did.
The Apple Puck Mouse.
The Newton message pad. The
Dewey's
going to
be upset about the message
I
pad.
Know,
he has
I
one
know.
Of those.
We'll let him respond in his own way.
I think it's a clunker.
Apple 20th anniversary Macintosh. Whoa, it was freaky looking, that's for sure.
Similarly, I guess, spec'd and priced to the Gateway debacle.
Yes. Circuit City DivX DVDs.
The ones that died
after use. Oh, right.
That's terrible.
Oops. Concord crap. IQ Go Wireless Digital Camera. Bluetooth-enabled camera. Cost little more than otherwise comparable drugstore cameras.
Anyway, the next cool one is the Motorola Rocker.
Just wow, they're
year, the Apple
they're
iTunes,
trashing the Rocker already?
Motorola. No, that thing went nowhere.
Oh, the Dell laptops that were combusting?
Nah, that's not so
that's
bad.
Good. The 3Com Audrey?
Never heard of it.
The internet appliance for email.
And web TVs then.
Now, see, the funny thing is I think we are approaching the day of the internet appliance. Because I think if you're
yes,
if you can do just about everything that you really want to do other than games on Google, like let's say, like you just go to your Google desktop, you really just need an internet connection, basically a low power Linux box, keyboard and mouse and monitor. You can probably do the whole thing in a nice one piece package kind of a deal with a wireless keyboard and mouse, okay? Right? You with me so far?
I'm with you.
And and that way because it'll be Linux or something, you know, if Google needs like a new, you know, do you need to be running a new Java virtual machine or something like that, or a new upgrade to the browser or something, you can do it.
Well, you can do that all with Windows now too.
Yeah,
automatically.
I'm just saying, like it's something like kind of low power. You know, that all it's going to do is browse the internet,
right?
Okay, and run like Ajax-enabled websites and do stuff like that. Okay, and then for games, you'll just use an Xbox or whatever.
Well, yeah,
and it's kind of going to like separate.
Surfing on the couch seems to be picking up amongst my nerdy friends. Almost everyone has a laptop, and almost everybody's sitting there with a laptop next to their TV now. And that just wasn't. You didn't do that 5 years ago.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Yeah, I do it 100%.
I'm amazed I was able to impregnate my wife. Okay.
Oh, were you?
Well, we'll see what kind.
Hey,
of
we got one last message here from Peggy.
Oh,
it's a pretty good one.
Okay, hold on.
It's a whole show right there. Matt will start frothing.
Uh-oh. Mozilla Firefox. Okay, still listening. Why did the IT guy at work tell me to uninstall Firefox? Didn't give me a good reason. Just says he doesn't like it. My son, on the other hand, was the one who told me about it. And you guys, Peggy, if you're still listening, and let me just double check real quick to see if she's still listening. And she very well might be. We still have one listener.
Yay.
The IT guy at work, why would he tell you to uninstall Firefox?
If you're installing stuff that he doesn't know about on his computer, he could not like it.
Sounds like a power play to me.
Yeah,
sounds like
exactly.
He's trying to assert himself to you and
he says
say,
like,
you
like
know, I want you to install. I want you to uninstall it because
He doesn't like it. Straight up doesn't like Firefox. There's only two reasons for that.
Okay.
One is he has absolutely no clue.
Right.
The other is that he's a real strong Microsoft zealot.
Okay. That would be synonymous with number one, probably.
Well,
slightly redundant. I mean,
I've got a friend
Microsoft
who knows
apologist.
Computers okay. And he's more of a Microsoft developer, and he says, "Why would you ever do anything that wasn't Microsoft? Because your biggest market is there." So he doesn't even bother with what he considers fringe
cross-browser testing. Or
yeah,
anything like that.
They're just starting. He works at Progressive, and they're just starting doing cross-browser testing at Progressive for their huge internet apps. So he's been proven wrong in that case, but. I mean, there's a lot of people out there.
Well, I'll say this, Peggy, that, you know, Firefox is a pretty nice browser, and there's a few things that it does that I like a lot, okay? I like that I can set it to the fact that when I click on links that want to launch a new window, instead I can tell it launch a new tab. Mm-hmm. And I really, really like that.
It sounds like she's using Firefox.
And I really, really like that, okay? However, Internet Explorer 6, you know, I actually like also because I just like where the buttons are and everything. But Firefox is pretty similar. I have found, though, that there are plenty of websites out there that don't
work in Firefox.
In Firefox.
It's
so you
hard
have
to go completely over. I can't go completely to Firefox. Yeah. And the other thing is, I like Firefox for a lot of reasons, mostly because I can clear my history out much easier.
I find that in Firefox, when you tell it to do something, it does it.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you say, clear the history, clear this, clear that, and it does it. And I find that in Explorer, never quite sure.
And I still got this stuff dropping down after I thought I cleaned Explorer out in my address bar.
Peggy, I think the final word on this is that, like it or not, I think you need to exist in a two-browser world.
Yeah, you can't be 100%, but...
Use Firefox when you... I think using Firefox is great when you're going to a lot of very plain websites and you want to have a bunch of different websites open at the same time. That's what's the beautiful thing about the tab browsing. With Internet Explorer, I would go to your more like rich content websites and
or your
things,
apps, like your...
Yeah,
if
your apps, that's right. If you're using like
Internet
a time...
Internet Exchange,
a time track, Microsoft Exchange, yeah. A time tracking software or something, you might really
they
need to...
They were mostly written for IE.
Stick with IE. I would keep them both.
Elsewise. But the deal is, I mean, why he would say that, I don't know.
I don't know why
Firefox crashes like crazy on me and starting to piss me off, but I hear that some of my extensions might be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
There's a list of crashy and leaky extensions that I
need
to go through.
Firefox is built by an affiliation of developers, kind of, whereas Microsoft, you know, Internet Explorer is built by a company. I mean, Mozilla's like a company,
that.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's not like it's just done by people out on their own.
I just think you have to have both. And I think you should use...
Well, yeah, I mean...
Use Mozilla when you want to.
She's not uninstalling IE. It's...
No, you can't.
I think if you're in there and you're just browsing, you're a little safer with Firefox, you have a little more control, and the tabbing is a very convenient thing. So when 7 comes out, IE 7, maybe it'll get rid of all those reasons. I'll use whichever's faster and crashes less. That's my theory.
Sure. That sounds like a hell of a theory. My thing is...
It hides my illicit search.
My thing is, like I said, if you want to look at multiple websites at the same time, you want to go back and forth, and you want to keep things open and stuff like that, Mozilla is definitely the way to go because of the tabs. You can have one window...
I currently have 14 tabs open.
Right, so he has 14 tabs open. I have 6.
Also, if I plan to read at some point. And
that's right.
Cetera,
and it's cool because you can open things. You can right-click on a link, say open a new tab, and then just get to it later.
Yep.
And it doesn't open a new window over top of what you're doing and all this kind of stuff. In Microsoft Internet Explorer, though, a lot of websites were written for it, and you kind of need to
Absolutely.
Keep it, or you definitely need to use it at times. So, I don't know. I'd say just go back and forth and use the one you like better.
I mean, if he wants you to uninstall it, there's plenty of reasons you can dictate that's a legitimate application. Right. It's not going to do anything
but
bad
my,
to your system.
My, what I can tell you right now is that I have lost I have your IT guy took a major credibility hit with me.
Absolutely.
If he doesn't like Firefox, that is just silly. That's just silly, and a real tech person would never say that. You know, I don't think, because there's really nothing to dislike about Firefox. It works extremely well.
Absolutely.
You could just say, you know what, I'm used to Internet Explorer, so I don't feel like it.
Yeah, but then you're not an IT guy. You're not trying out the new things.
Of course, you can probably go back to some dial-a-dorks where I was like, nah, I don't like Firefox. You know,
but you'd probably tried it, you know?
I think I was just trying to antagonize
And you've
Matt.
Shown that you have
well,
tried
it
at this
I
point
I use it
now.
A ton now. Yeah. I use it a ton.
I mean, this is like the fact that you're trying IE7. I mean, something I've gotten around to, but...
Well, you know what the other thing I got to do, man?
An IT guy...
I got to use Vista.
If there's something out there for... 3 years, it's reliable and out there. I've been using Firefox for easily 3 years. This guy's not even curious enough to try it and understand
it. Right.
That's sad.
I don't know what kind of IT guy he is, Peggy, but I think you need to have him fired.
Get him out of there.
Get him out of there. All right. Anyway. Yeah,
this has been another exciting edition.
I am exhausted,
baby. Dial-a-door.
Okay. So I am totally exhausted. We're going to cut this one off now. Peggy.
Thanks for listening.
Those
who listen in the future, we thank you.
Tim, thank you very much. Shane's in the house. We have yet to hear back from whatever happened to PJ. I don't know what happened to PJ, but his Forest City account doesn't work
anymore.
Anybody
out there who wants to shoot us a line, it's dorks at
dialdork.com.
Dial-a-dork.com.
That's right. So email us.
And don't get too excited, but we're hoping to land an undashed thing in September.
Oh,
that guy's not listening to us.
All right, you're right. We hope to get it with
one
no
of our listeners
someday.
Could totally try to snag.
All right, anyway, thanks very, very much for listening. We really appreciate it, and we will holler at you later.
Holler.
Bye-bye.
You get all those pimps together, it was live.